wonderful God we used to sing. And I'm just so glad the songs we've sung this afternoon are just setting the scene for what God's laid on my heart just to share with you this afternoon. Father, we thank you for your word, which is the most powerful force in the universe. Father, I thank you your word conquers everything and every situation. And Father, if we will believe your word, then Lord, you will do mighty miracles amongst us. And Father, I just pray that this afternoon, whatever's said, you will pick out those things, Father, that are important, and that, Lord, you will bring them to mind, and that I shall speak, Father, what you want spoken this afternoon, and it shall take root in our hearts, those key things that you want us to retain. Let them take root in the hearts of all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of the year, I was talking about, it was 2008, and 8 being the number, God's number, of super abundance. Don't know if you remember that. But we are in the year of God's super abundance. And I was looking a bit further into the number 8. And God made 8 covenants with Abraham. And they led to super abundance. Now, there was weakness in Abraham, and I thank God that there was, because there's hope for us. But I just want to briefly look at these covenants that God cut with Abraham. And the first one that we find, it's also interesting to note that out of all these 8, you know, in Scripture, number 1 means God. Sovereignty. Number 2 is the number of witness and the second member of the Godhead. And all the covenants that God cut with Abraham, their numerical significance bears the character of that number. So when we look at number 1, this is what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, just verses 1 to 3. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse those that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." If we look here, this talks about the sovereignty of God. God is number 1. The beginning and the end. He, on his own, he said, "I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you." God is saying here, what I'm about to give to you, Abraham, I'm going to do. You're not. And it's so easy to think that we have to help God out. And let's learn here and now a lesson. If God says he'll do it, he'll do it. He doesn't need the help of flesh. And that's what he was getting across to Abraham here. I will do it. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. "And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'Unto your seed will I give this land.' And there built he an altar to the Lord, who appeared unto him." He was talking of Isaac, but he was also, that seed refers to Jesus Christ. And if we look in Galatians chapter 3, and verse 16 links in with this. This was the second covenant that God cut with Abraham. And number 2 is the number of witness. It's the number of Christ, the second member of the Trinity. And so number 2 was very significant, his second covenant. It was the seed, concerning the seed. And in Galatians 3 and verse 16 it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So here God was referring, he was showing Abraham the covenant blessing that Christ would come. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 13. This is the third covenant that God cut with Abraham. And the third covenant speaks of God's divine perfection. Verses 14 to 17. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes, and look from the place where you are, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for ever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Now God gave that promise to Abraham that he would give him the whole of the land. He would make his descendants as the dust of the earth. But you know, prior to that, when we look at the first covenant that God cut with Abraham, he told Abraham to get out of his country and away from his kindred and from his father's house. But what did Abraham do? He what? He took Lot with him. He took some of his kindred with him. You know, it is a tough thing when God says to you, leave your family. In that type of culture was very family orientated, and generation after generation lived together. It was a very close-knit community, their families. And it was a big thing for Abraham to let go and cut himself off from his family and from his father's house and from the inheritance. He had to totally cut and sever that relationship, and he had to move to a foreign land. That was a huge thing for Abraham to do. And here we see Abraham couldn't manage it. He couldn't totally rely on God. And yet he knew the power and the greatness of God. But he hadn't proved God. He knew it here, but he didn't know it in his spirit. And God had to take him through a process to prove to him that God was all he needed and all he would ever need. But we see that Abraham took with him Lot, and Lot represents the flesh. He couldn't totally rely on God. He had to lean to a measure the security of the flesh. But you know, the third covenant God cut with him when Abraham and Lot had separated, that flesh that Lot took, that Abraham took with him, became a snare to him. And it stopped God's miraculous working in his life. God couldn't do what he wanted to do with Abraham until he had separated him from the flesh. And there was strife between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. You know, Abraham was exceedingly rich. There's nothing wrong with riches. And Abraham gives us an example here. He did not look, it doesn't matter, you can have success. You can have the things of the flesh. But we cannot say we rely on those things. God will never have you relying on those things. He wants to be your source of supply for absolutely everything. And God had to take Abraham through a process to get into that place. You know, for some of us, the flesh represents the comfort zone, doesn't it? This is the way we've always done it. This is the way my family's always done it. And we cannot handle the fact that God would ever sever that and that we would have to totally rely on him. But, you know, we feel secure when we've got money in the bank, when we class ourselves as successful and the world sees us as successful. We've got our degrees, we've got our good jobs, and there's nothing wrong in all of those things. But God's saying, I'm your source of supply, not your job, not what you've got in the bank, not the big house you've got, not the supercar that you drive, not the lovely motorbike that I've given you, but I am your source of supply. I've given you all these things to enjoy, but they are not in themselves. They don't in themselves give you your identity. Your identity is in God, because He, everything else, is superfluous to that. I think the flesh also speaks of control. You know, sometimes we want to be in control. We won't let go and let God. And this is a lesson we need to learn. We cannot control anybody. Even our families, our children, once they get to an age of understanding, God's saying, let them go, release them to me, because I'm in control. We need to release absolutely everything, our money, our jobs, our houses, our cars, our everything, our families. God is well able. He's made provision. Before the world began, we were on His mind, and He knew everything about us. He knew what would the end from the beginning. He'd mapped a path for us, and He wants us to submit to Him and say, Jesus, I give my life to You. I want You to take my destiny, and I want You to lead me into my destiny, and I don't want the arm of the flesh to get in the way. There has to be a separation between the spirit and the flesh. And you know, when it came to Lot and Abraham separating, Abraham gave Lot the choice. And he said to him, which way do you want to go? Do you want to go to the east or do you want to go to the west? Whichever you choose, I'll go the other way. And you know, the flesh, what does it do? Oh, that's lovely and lush and green. There's cities out there, there's good food out there, fabulous for grazing the cattle. There's everything I need out there. What was Abraham left with? Abraham's outlook was very bleak and very barren. It was the wilderness. But Abraham had given his word, and Lot chose what was pleasing to the eyes, what appealed to his flesh. But you know, as we read through the story, Lot ultimately lost everything. And let us learn a lesson here and now. If we sow to the flesh, we will ultimately lose everything. God wants us to sow to the Spirit. And Abraham sowed to the Spirit. Naturally, it did not look good. And you know, when God comes to you and asks you, sometimes He takes us to a crossroad in our lives. And He says, now you choose. Are you going the way of the flesh, or are you going the way of the Spirit? Are you going to keep your eye on what's pleasing to your eye, or are you going to go in the way that looks the hardest, the most bleak, and all you've got is Me and My word? Well, let me tell you, don't hesitate. Go the way of the word. Go the way of the Spirit, because that is ultimately the way of success, the way of blessing, the way of abundance. It's God's way. He's all you need. He's going to do it, not you. In Genesis chapter 15, we see the fourth covenant that God cut with Abraham. This one's verse 13-21. Genesis 15, verses 13-21. Number four in God's economy is God and the world. This is a promise to Abraham about his about his descendants. And God said to Abraham, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that isn't theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards they shall come out with great substance. Praise God. And you shall go to your father's house in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation your descendants will come hither again. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And then it goes on to list a few more tribes, the land of tribal land that he'd given to them. In the fourth generation, and we know that in the fourth generation, the children of Israel were in Egypt, and God sent Moses, the great deliverer, to deliver his people. God was faithful to his word, but you know, Moses couldn't deliver those people in the fourth generation of himself. He needed God's hand, and God took Moses and gave his power to Moses, and by the power of God and the obedience of Moses in the fourth generation, the people of God were free, and he brought them out with great blessing. I think that's fantastic. God is so faithful. The fifth covenant that God cut with Abraham is in Genesis chapter 15 again. Sorry, Genesis 17. And we're going from verses 1 to 22. Now this is quite a long reading. When Abraham was 99 years old, God appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between you and me and will multiply your seed exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made you. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God to thee and to thy seed hereafter. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, or the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abram, thou shalt keep my covenant here, and thy seed after thee in their generations. Then he talks about circumcision. And go down to verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, for her name shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give you a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that's 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting seed, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I've blessed him, and will make him fruitful and multiply him. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this time next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. This is the fifth covenant that God cut with Abraham. And number 5 speaks of God's grace. It was God's invincible grace. The word invincible means unconquerable. You know, the previous chapter talks about Abraham trying to work it out himself. Abraham had a wife who was well beyond bearing children. She was in her 80s. She was coming up 90. She could not have children. It was impossible. The flesh said, the reasoning said, this is not possible. And so Sarah said to Abraham, take my servant Hagar. She's much younger and she will bear the child. We will help God out with this promise. We will lean to the arm of the flesh and we will do it the flesh's way, not God's way. And we see the world's in a mess because of it even now. But the fifth covenant God cut with him, God overlooked Abraham's attempt to help him. And he said, by the grace of God, God came to him and he said, you've tried to do it your own way, Abraham. I will still bless Ishmael, but I'm telling you, you are going to have a son by Sarah, and you are going to be as abundant as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. So great is your offspring going to be. In the sixth covenant is in chapter 18, verses 9 through to 15. Genesis 18, 9 to 15. And they said unto him, where's Sarah, your wife? These were three heavenly beings who came to speak to Abraham. And this was God speaking. And he said to Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? And Abraham said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. This number six always speaks of the number of man. And here we see man's failure. Sarah lied to God. You know, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit and didn't get away with it. And here we have Sarah blatantly lying to God. She laughed in disbelief and denial of what God was going to do. But you know, God did not reject Sarah because of that, and neither was the promise negated. God was bigger than all of that, and he, despite Sarah's failure, being number six, the failure of Sarah, God continued faithful with his promise. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12. Here Isaac had been born, and Ishmael was about, Genesis chapter 21 verse 12. Isaac had been born and Sarah was weaning him, and Ishmael was probably about 13 or 14. And Ishmael was constantly mocking Isaac and Sarah. And it was very distressful to Abraham. You know, the flesh will cause you a lot of distress if you allow it to live alongside the spirit. And this is where Abraham was. He was harbouring the flesh in his house. and it became very distressful to him. And God, he came and he brought it to God. And in verse 12 of chapter 21, God said to Abraham, "Let it don't be distressed because of the lad Ishmael and because of Hagar. In all that Sarah says to you, listen to her. For in Isaac your seed shall be blessed." Abraham was brought to a point where he had to let go of Ishmael and he had to let go of Hagar. And God said, "You let go." And we see further on in that chapter that God had made a plan for Ishmael. God was still going to bless Ishmael. It wasn't Ishmael's fault. But what he wanted, he wanted Abraham to realise that he had to let go of him and he had to trust him to God. And sometimes there's things that God demands we let go of. And we have to hand them over to God and let God take them up. God has a plan for every one of us. And whether we're obedient to that plan or whether we are not, God is faithful to his word. And he has a plan. And he will always turn the situation, he turns circumstances so that he gets us back in the path that he wants us to go. God ultimately wants to bless all mankind. And the last covenant, the seventh covenant, and it was Genesis chapter 21 and verse 12, when he talks about in Isaac thy seed shall be called. That seed was Christ, and that was God's spiritual perfection. And number 8 is God's superabundance. And it's in Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 18. Genesis 22, 15 to 18. "And the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And this thy seed, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Here, God had told Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac, his only son. He was to sacrifice the very means of the promise. But Abraham didn't, at that point, he had been through a process and God had brought him to a place where he would obey God and stop questioning and lean into the arm of the flesh. And he reasoned if God told him to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, then God had a way of raising him up from the dead, because that promise had to be fulfilled. Abraham totally, totally believed the promise of God. He believed the word of God. He was a man of the spirit. And he was prepared to sacrifice what in the natural looked absolutely ridiculous. It looked like suicide to the word, to the promise. But God was faithful and he tested Abraham. And Abraham was obedient. And you know, this speaks of superabundance because, in a sense, Isaac was resurrected. He was given back to Abraham. Abraham didn't lose Isaac and the promise was fulfilled. But it also speaks of the superabundance of the resurrection blessing in Christ. It's a picture of Jesus Christ and God. And God allowed Jesus to be sacrificed on the cross. And it looked like that was the end, but it wasn't. It was only the beginning, because the superabundance was that Christ was raised from the dead and he overcame and defeated every enemy. That was the abundance. He defeated every enemy. everything that can ever come against us has been defeated by Jesus Christ. And in that verse, at the end of verse 17, God says, "And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Jesus, God saw down the corridors of time. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus raised from the dead. He saw the devil defeated. And he saw us being overcomers as we're in Christ. So I hope some of those have been a blessing to you this afternoon and some lessons to be learned. There's lots more to it, but we can learn a lot from Abraham and the blessing that we have in Christ because of his obedience. Praise God.